Kagub. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I'm delighted to be able to come into your presence through this means today to share with you the wonderful truths of the eternal God. We're studying about angels. We're in our study concerning spiritual warfare, and we've been discussing Satan, the enemy of the believer, and how that the Lord Jesus said in John 8:44 to a religious crowd, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, beloved, that's a true picture of Satan, the enemy of mankind. And we've been discussing how that Satan came to the position and to the place that he is. We've discussed how that he was a murderer from the beginning, which is described in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, where he murdered the whole human race. That is, he caused man to fall into sin, which separated man from God, which caused man to die in his relationship with God. Even as Romans 5:12 tells us, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, because all have sinned." And so we see how Satan is a murderer from the beginning, and there's no truth in him. He lied to Eve there in the Garden of Eden, and he took this beautiful creature called the serpent, which we know today has the curse upon it, and that's why it crawls upon the ground like it does. That's why it eats dust. That's why it lives the way it does today. In the Garden of Eden, it was a beautiful creature. I believe it had legs. I believe it walked upright. I believe it was altogether different in the Garden of Eden. But the curse that was placed upon it because of it being used by Satan. Now, we know that Satan was the serpent, because that's what we're told in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation opens up, you see, remember this, always remember, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Many wonderful truths of the Old Testament are explained and made clear and understandable by the truth presented in the New Testament. That's why, beloved, we study both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, such as the slaughtering of many, many different lambs in the Old Testament, and the offering of sacrifice for sin, was fulfilled in the New Testament by God's Lamb, which was slain for the sins of the world, the Lamb of God, which John the Baptist introduced concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to earth to die for the sins of mankind as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, there's so many wonderful nuggets of truth that's hidden in God's Word. And the person who knows not the Lord Jesus Christ does not have the Holy Spirit, who is the spiritual teacher and the one who opens up the truths of God's Word. And therefore, no matter what kind of degrees the educated person in the education of the world system, without Jesus Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit, cannot make heads or tails out of the Bible. They cannot understand the Bible. It does not make sense to them. They say it's full of contradictions because they cannot understand it. only the Holy Spirit of God, as we saw when we were studying the Gospel of John. The Holy Spirit, I believe it's chapter 14, is the one who opens up man's understanding and leads us into all truth. And, of course, the Holy Spirit is the author of the book. One time there was a boy that was studying his math book, and he couldn't understand it. And there was a man that was visiting his dad. And the boy went to his dad and said, "Dad, I just cannot understand this math." And so the visitor said, "Well, son, what is it about the book you don't understand?" And the boy told him, and he went over and he sat down with the book, and he opened up and explained the problem that the young man was having. And he said, "Oh, it's so clear now that you've told me. How did you know that?" And he said, "Well, I'm the one who wrote the book." He was the author of the book. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who authored the Bible. He's the one who inspired the 40 different individuals who wrote the different books of the Bible. He inspired them. He oversaw their writing. He led them in the things that they wrote. That's why there's unity. That's why there's harmony. That's why there's continuity in all of the different 66 books of the Bible. And they blend together to unlock and open up our minds to truths and wonderful facts about Almighty God. Thus, beloved, the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote these different books, and that's why the Bible gradually is unlocked and gradual truth, and it's a progressive book. As you read, that's why you need to read the entire Bible, because the Old Testament begins to be unfolded and unlocked and made clear in the New Testament. And so you need both the Old and the New Testament to learn about Almighty God, to know about His majesty, to know about His glory, to know about His wisdom and His knowledge, to know about His omniscience, to know about His oneness, and yet His being the triune Godhead. All of it fits together, beloved. And so it's our privilege to have the entire Word of God, which is God's love letter to mankind, to open up and to teach and instruct us and help us grow in the knowledge of the truth. Now, as I mentioned to you before, Satan is not spoken of in Genesis chapter 3, but in John, or rather in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, we read, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So here we learn that the one that was speaking to Eve in the Garden of Eden using that beautiful creature called the serpent was actually the devil himself using that beautiful creature to deceive Eve and to lead her into rebellion against God and into death and separation from God. And so the Word of God begins to be unlocked through the knowledge of both the Old and the New Testament. Now we learn here that Satan has angels that followed him. And we've learned that Satan is a cherub. He is a cherub. We understood that when we looked in Ezekiel chapter 28. And there we read about truth, just like in Genesis, where the truth was referring to Satan, but it isn't clearly seen or stated there in that passage. So in Ezekiel chapter 28, we see a passage of Scripture speaking to the king of Tyre, and yet it states things that could not possibly apply to the king of Tyre. And let me read to you again in quick review here, beginning with verse 12 of Ezekiel 28. "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him,
Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, that was not true of the king of Tyre. He did not have all great wisdom and was not filled with beauty in his makeup. And he says in verse 13, Thou hast been in Eden. Now, the Garden of Eden was gone when the king of Tyre walked upon the earth. The Garden of Eden was destroyed in the flood of Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8 that covered the whole earth and destroyed the whole earth. The Garden of Eden was destroyed. So he could not have been in Eden. And so this was referring to someone else. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now, the king of Tyre, this could not have described him. He wasn't covered with all of these beautiful, beautiful manifestations of jewels. And he wasn't created. He was born like any other human being. He was just a human being. So it's referring to Satan using the king of Tyre as a symbol, but back behind the king of Tyre is the reality of Satan. Notice what else it says. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Now, the king of Tyre was not a cherub. This is a special angelic being which God created for a special purpose, and that was to protect the holiness of God. And he says, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. He covered what? Well, if you recall in the book of Exodus, when the plans were given to Moses concerning the tabernacle and the implements of the tabernacle, over in the book of Exodus, we read some very interesting statements here concerning the Ark of the Covenant, Exodus 25, and beginning with verse 17. Thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length of it. We must close till next time. We'll pick up there. Goodbye.